On this week's Parsha, it opens up talking about a very important day, a very big day for Klai Yisrael. This is a day that was led up to for a long period of time. They've been collecting money, they've been building the Mishkan, building the Kelim, putting it together, waiting and anticipating the day that the base of Mikta, that the Mishkan would stand, and Ashras Ashchina would return to Klai Yisrael after having left them at the time of Chayte Egel. The simcha wasn't only, and the anticipation wasn't only by Klai Yisrael. The Gemara Megillah that some of you learned says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oso hayom haita simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki yom shenivru bo shemayim va'aretz. That day of simcha was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the simcha of the beginning and the creation of the world. The Gemara in Shabbos, Pezayim Rebeis, says there was a whole list of things that started on that day that we could celebrate on that day. Oso yom the Shabbos Pezayim Rebeis. Oso yom Natal Eser Ataros. That day received 10 crowns. It was the first day of creation. It was the day the world was created, not Adam Arishon, but Kav Gimel Adar, when the world was created. This year falls out on Shabbos. Rishon the Nesim, it's when the representative of every single Shevet was going to bring a korban on behalf of their Shevet at the inauguration of the Mishkan. Today was the first day that it was going to be brought by the Nasi, Nachshon and Aminadav. Today was that day he brought his korban. Rishon the Kohuna, this is the day that the Kohanim started to serve and do their job in the Mishkan. Rishon LaAvoda, it's the first time that now Korbanos will be brought on their behalf, the Tamidim and the Musafim, the Korbanos Tzibur. Rishon LiYeridas HaEsh, this was the day that Kaiser was going to be witnessed to Kadosh Baruch Hu being happy with their job of putting together the Mishkan, and they were going to see Esh come down from Shemayim and accept their Korban, which for them would both be an acknowledgement that they have now a Kapara, that they're able to move on, that we have a new way to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to bring a Korban Ola, to bring a Korban Chatas. Rishon LaAchilas Kachim. Now is when they would start to be able to eat the parts of the Kachim that would be eaten. Rishon L'Shchon Shchina, L'Shikun Shchina. This is when the Shchina, the Ashrasha Shchina, was going to return to Klai Yisrael. Rishon L'Varachas Yisrael, the first Birkas Kohanim that Klai Yisrael ever received was on this day. Rishon LeIsrael Abamos, now they could only bring Korbanos over here. Rishon LeChadashim, this was going to be, this was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day that this took place. Before I said Kav Gimel Adar, that was the beginning of the Shivas and Yemilulim. This is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when Adam HaRishon was created. Everything seems unbelievable, everything seems good. The pasuk says, "V'teitze esh milifne Hashem v'tochal al mizbeach es ha'ola es ha'chalavim v'yar kol ha'am v'yaronu v'yiplu ha'paneim hashras hashchina." Returned to Klai Yisrael, they saw the esh come down from Shemayim, and it says in the Yakut Shimoni that the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, where Kadosh Baruch Hu talks about Yom Chasunoso, Yom Simchas Libo, the day of the happiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart. What's the day of the happiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart? B'yom sheyarda esh chadasha min ha-shamayim v'lichacha al mizbeach et ha'ola v'esach halavim. Yom Simchas Libo now took place. It's a celebration in the world, celebration in Shemayim. We are at the pinnacle again, once again, since Matan Torah happened. We're reaching a tremendous height. Everyone's falling on their face in happiness. If we could stop reading the Parsha now, it would be great. But the next pasuk says, "Vayichu v'nei Aaron nadav aviu ish machtasa v'yinu v'hem esh v'esimu la katoras v'yakuv v'nei Hashem esh zara shalotziv osam v'teitze esh me'lifnei Hashem v'tochal osam v'yamusu lifnei Hashem." Within moments after this most unbelievable, all the 10 crowns of that day, and the esh coming from Shemayim, Ashras Hashchina, finally have a kapara. And all of a sudden, another esh comes down and takes away from them two of their greatest gedolim of the time, Nadav and Aviu, Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, the first day that he's serving now in the Mishkan as the Kohen Gadol. Immediately, within moments, all of a sudden, Nadav and Aviu are removed, taken out from this world, and there's a tremendous looks like avelos. What a damper on the day. What a dark ending. And in light of Klaisel, like, imagine how they felt, like we spoke about a few weeks ago, after Matan Torah, the pinnacle they hit when they realized the damage they did with Chet Egel, and how we have to make up for this, and everything they invested, and they gave in themselves, and they worked to pick themselves up again, and finally they reached that point, and boom, they're down again. What a difficult realization to fall again like that, to feel like such a mess. How many times did Moshe Rabbeinu have to stand up and get a Kodesh Baruch Hu to forgive us again after everything he did for us? What a mess this situation looks like. And look at it also from Aaron HaKohen's perspective. We spoke about it in the 6-10 shiur a couple of weeks ago. Aaron, when he first was, in this week's parsha, he was told to bring his first korban. He didn't want to approach the Mizbeach. Moshe Rabbeinu had to say to him, Krav el Mizbeach, approach the Mizbeach. Go do, because he was scared. When he looked at the Mizbeach, Chazal say, and the Rabban explains, that all he saw in front of him was an egel. It looked like he saw in front of him Chet Egel, the involvement that he had in Chet Egel, trying to stall B'nai Yisrael by collecting the jewelry, making it look like he's on their side, but his involvement in enabling Chet Egel, he could just, how could I be the representative of the Jewish people? How could I approach his back? How could I bring a korban? Who am I to do that? And Moshe Rabbeinu encouraged him, go ahead and do it. And he got back, and he got on the Mizbeach. And we spoke also about how after he put everything that needed to be on the Mizbeach, the fire still didn't come down from Shemayim. He was worried, wait, maybe still I'm lacking something in the kapara for my involvement with the Chet Egel. And then finally the Esh did come down, and then a moment later his sons get taken away. For Aaron, this is a difficult day. This is a difficult day. How did Kodesh Baruch Hu look at me? Where is it that I'm holding all these fallings and getting up in my life? The 7 days preceding this Yom HaShmini, this eighth day, what's it the eighth day of? Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, the 7 days of the inauguration of the Mishkan. What took place on those 7 days? Besides the korbanos that were brought on those days that Moshe Rabbeinu ran, but and the sprinkling of the blood on Aaron and his sons, but every single day of the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, Moshe Rabbeinu would build the Mishkan himself, and at the night he would take it down again. The next morning he would build it again, at night he would take it down again. And for Klai Yisrael that were watching this, it almost looked like a tease, like, what is he doing? Build is now it's going to stop? Now we're going to be able to use it? No, not yet. He takes it down. Now we're going to be able to use it? No, he takes it down. This seems ridiculous. What's the point? We know you were going to use it again tomorrow. Why are you picking again tonight? What are you accomplishing by that? To find the eighth day when he built it and it stayed that way. So I thought maybe to understand those Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, one pshat that maybe could be said, and I think it's so pashut, somebody has to say this. But in the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, he quotes from many different places. It's not his chiddush; he just says it over to us in our in as simple of a language as we could understand it. But he tells us that there's three things that are parallel to each other in this world: the entire world, the Mishkan and Beis Hamikdash, and Adam. When somebody would look at the Mishkan, there was a parallel within the Mishkan to every aspect that was in this universe. And so too in Adam himself, there's a parallel in Adam to every part of the Mishkan and to every part of the world. And that's why when a Jew has a neshama, when every act that he does, he's like a Beis HaMikdash, and he's bringing bracha into this world to all the different aspects of creation that are parallel to however it works out, the parallels between himself, his actions, and how he affects the world. And there's some experience that a person would have when he would go to the Mishkan, which were the Beis HaMikdash, and just to look at it, he understood when he was there how what he's looking about is a Shalem Adam. He knew what paralleled his lave, what paralleled his moach, his hands, his actions. He understood it when he saw it, and he knew that he's looking at an Adam Shalem, and he was able to see what's lacking in himself, what he still needed to fix. And to go there was inspiring to a person to want to be chozer b'tshuva, because you're seeing what you're supposed to look like. The closest thing that we have to it nowadays is when you go to an Adam Gadol and you go to a tzaddik and you look at him. And that's that where we still have Ashras HaShchina nowadays in a person. When you see somebody who lives on a tremendously high level, you look and you realize the heights that a person could reach. So if that's all correct, so when the Mishkan is being built, what we're looking at is how a person is built, and also how the world was built. And what Moshe Rabbeinu is showing, and it's not just to teach a lesson, it actually was that way, is the way that you build a Mishkan, and the way that you build an Adam Shalem is not just, you know, you put it together, everything stays in place, and then it stays that way. That's not the process of the building of an Adam, and that's not how the world runs, that everything is just going towards something and without anything coming down in the middle. By taking it down and building it up, taking it down and building it up, Klai Yisrael are now watching what life is supposed to look like, what Avodas Hashem looks like. It's ups and it's downs, ups and downs. It's not a surprise when everything falls apart. It's the way it's expected to be, and it's the way that it always is. Shevi Yipol Tzadik V'Kam, that a tzadik, in order to be a tzadik, falls and gets up 7 times, like the Shivis Yimei Miluim, taking it apart and building up again. On that day, after Nadav and Avihu were taken out, not that everything stopped. They still had to bring all the karbanos of Rosh Chodesh. The Nesiim still had to start bringing their karbanos. The day continued. They brought the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Avodas Hashem continued. Yes, they hit another down, but that didn't stop anybody. Everybody continued to do exactly what it is that they were supposed to do. There's a story in Maisa Ish. It's a set of svarim, but the Chazon Ish, psaks that he had, stories about him, things that he said. So if Aryeh Schechter over there says that one time he got to the Chazon Ish's house, and the door to the house was locked, but he needed to speak to him. And the Chazon Ish though was sitting in a bed, or lying in a bed on their merpeset, on the porch. So the Chazon Ish said, come climb up to the porch. So he started to try to climb on the side of the building and get onto the porch. But and every time he would almost make it, he would fall down into thorny bushes that were underneath. He would get up again with scratches and rips, try to get up there again, fall down again into the thorny bushes. So finally he made it. And the Chazon Ish said to him, that's life. That wasn't what their conversation was, but he said, this what you just went through, that's like a mushroom for life. That's what life looks like. A person keeps on trying to get up, falls, gets scratched, gets ripped, if it gets up again, doesn't stop and keeps on trying. Nisyonos, nobody usually tells you beforehand you're about to be tested with something very big. It almost always comes by surprise. No one expected Chayte Egel to happen. That would have been the greatest nightmare, the biggest shock in the world that happened. That Nadav and Avihu would be killed wasn't anything that Moshe Rabbeinu or Aaron knew, that this is how this day was going to end up. Klai Yisrael for sure didn't know. But that's regular, and we'll find things like that over and over again throughout the Tanakh, and that's how it looks like in our own lives. It's not that a person builds himself, gets to a place, and then his expectation is things are just going to stay that way. We have to assume already, Meirosh, originally, that we're going to fall. We're not going to just fall once. We're going to be falling many times, and not to look at that as something tragic, and not to look at something as something like it's a mess, and it's destruction, but the goal doesn't change, or the job doesn't change, and it's just the natural way that the world works. Often we look at going back to, people talk about going back to America, going back for a Pesach break, things like that, as like, this is going to be a test to what you actually gain this year. So first of all, I think that's completely inaccurate. It's not at all, I don't think it's a test to what it is that you gain this year. It's beyond a doubt, without a suffix. Nothing needs to be tested. It's a fact. Every single day you learned, every single day you dive in, every mitzvah that you did, every positive thing, that already is an accomplishment. The building was already built and something huge happened. It's not that Pesach is meant to now test what you actually gained in Israel. It doesn't need to be tested. It's there, it happened, and it's a fact. And we didn't really train you here, and Yeshiva can't really train you for what's waiting for you when you go to America. It's like when you play basketball, right? You can't just be thrown onto a baseball field and all of a sudden now you're going to be good at baseball. It's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different, it's a different scenario that you find yourself in. It's different not only because it's America and Israel, Yeshiva, and not Yeshiva. When you eventually, if Mashiach doesn't come and you eventually go back to whatever program you're going to go back to in America. You're going to be going right into a set schedule. You're going to have a daily schedule. When you wake up, what you have in the morning, what you have in the afternoon, what you have at night. What you're falling now into is a month of vacation with nothing very clear to do from hour to hour and day to day. What you're falling into is another type of scenario that happens sometimes in life, where you have a period of time with no clear schedule. What do you do during times like that? So it's a whole new game. It's not that, and if somebody doesn't do well in that, it doesn't mean that they didn't gain in Israel. It means that they didn't properly enter that period of time, realizing what lies ahead, and they didn't necessarily plan properly and deal with it the right way. If you're measuring yourself when you're in America based on what your expectations for yourself were in yeshiva, then that's completely ridiculous. There's no chance that you're going to be successful. You'll just feel like one huge failure. The expectations you have for yourself in learning and how success is measured when you go back for a month of vacation is completely different. Now I would say the biggest area in your Avodas Hashem, the center of your month, is Kibud Av V'Em, Shalom Bayis with your siblings, Chesed in your family, being Kiddush Hashem to your community. Things are much more measured and centered on that, even more than learning, because most probably you will not be learning all day. Now a center of your Avodas Hashem is, to what extent do you kovei itim l'Torah? Do you have set times for learning? When you're in yeshiva, you're learning all day. You don't necessarily have set times. All day you're learning if you're not, you know, during the break or whatever it is. When you're going home, so there's a lot of different things going on. So now, do you keep to that half an hour, 2 hours, that daf, that amud, that perek, that siman, whatever it is that you chose ahead of time, sitting with your rebbeim? What should I expect from myself when I go back to happen on a daily basis? And your success is measured by to what extent you keep to that. Don't be measuring yourself with the same measuring stick as it was when we were here in yeshiva. And when you fall, and you will, and it's not a curse, it's because how life works. When you fall, don't be shocked. Don't think, oh no, I just lost everything. Oh no, the whole world is over. This is how a Mishkan is built. This is how an Adam Shalom is built. You fall. The test is more now, after the fact, how you pick yourself up and if you pick yourself up. What you say to yourself after you fail. What's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's perspective at the time that the person falls? At the time that the Chet HaEgel is happening? At the time the Nadav and Avihu are being taken out of this world? On one hand, we see the Chazals that I read to you, that it says that day was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Yom Simchas Libo, and it was a day that was happy like the creation of the world. On the other hand, it says in that same Gemara and Megillah that Vayehi Bayom Hashmini Vayehi. Every time it says in Tanakh Vayehi, it means something foreboding is going to happen. Some tzara is about to befall. Is about to happen. And in our parsha, it's talking about Nadav and Avihu. So it sounds like really Vayehi Bayom Hashmini Vayehi. If you had to size up Yom Hashmini, it's a Vayehi day. It's a tzara day. So is it a tzara day or is it a simcha day? So first I thought, okay, well maybe there's a chiluk between Klai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Klai Yisrael, this is a tzara. It looks like we failed again. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now there's a Shuras HaShchina back in the Mishkan. Things are pumping and working again. But there's a Midrash Rava, that points very much not to that effect. It shows how when Nadav and Avihu were killed, it says twice in the Pasuk, once in our parsha, once in Afremos. Here it says, Vayamusu lifnei Hashem, and in Afremos also when it refers to Nadav and Avihu dying, also says that they died lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem, shtei pa'amim. Ulahalahu omer, but elsewhere it says, Al pinei Aaron Aviyam, pam achas. By Aaron it says that Nadav and Avihu died for him. Once it says that. That they died in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says twice. What is the pasuk trying to reveal to us and show to us? Ela melami chaya kasha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiflayim me'avihem. It was doubly painful or difficult, so to speak, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than it was for Aaron HaKohen when Nadav and Avihu were taken out from this world. So was this a simpatika day, or was this day a day of a tzara or a tragedy? Even by Pesach, how do we look at it? So I thought that maybe we can understand this with the famous midrash that if you haven't heard, it's very important to know and to live with this idea. It says at the beginning, a ton of the Bei Eliyahu, Eliyahu Navi is giving a list of descriptions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it says about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that one of the things it says about it is that he's Sameach Bechelko. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Sameach Bechelko. What does that mean? When a human being, when we say about a human being that we need to be Sameach Bechelko, it means even though you don't necessarily have what you maybe would have wanted, a person should be happy with the things that he has and knows that he that's enough and you have all that you need for Avodas Hashem. But what's the chelak of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Sameach Bechelko? Klai Yisrael. So if you look at Klai Yisrael's state, are there things that are still happening? Are people still over Hashem, b'shleimus? Any individual, would we say the majority of the Jewish people are keeping Torah and mitzvos and Shabbos and not intermarrying? So what does it mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is always Sameach Bechelko? Why should we Sameach Bechelko? We're meant to be better. We're meant to be in a better place. So if Chaim Yivolozhin was very bothered by this midrash, he didn't understand, how should we understand this teaching of Eliyahu Navi? And one time when he went to his Rebbe, the Gra, he asked the Gra, what's the pshat in this midrash? And the Gra answered him, I don't know if this mashal was part of the Gra of this mashal. When I heard the Gra's response, I heard it with the mashal. But let's say, when a father is raising his son and he's teaching his son, so he's teaching him the alephays, that's what they're up to. And the kid gets something wrong, and this father corrects him, and he gets something wrong, and he corrects him, and then they get it right, and the next day he gets it wrong again. So what's the father's reaction? The son might turn to his father and say, Abba, why aren't you so frustrated? Why don't you just give up on me? You want me to know all these svarim we have on our bookshelf. You want me to know them backwards. You want me to be a Talmud Chacham. And I'm still making a mistake on how to read Kamatz Gimel. And what's the difference between a Chaf and a Ches? And why are you frustrated with me? But we know that a parent gets nachas at every stage of a child's development. And when he's learning to walk, even when he falls, it's not that the parents fall apart because they just fell. That's part of learning how to walk. A father understands that to get to shleimus, it requires falling and getting up, and falling and getting up. And therefore, it's not a steer that the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu felt the pain of having to take away Nadav and Avihu more than Aaron HaKohen, and yet still that day was a day of simuk, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is Sameach Bechelko at every step of the along the way, and that his expectation was never that everything is just going to be smooth sailing and run perfectly. And therefore, our own expectations from ourselves shouldn't be any stronger or higher standards than what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us or expects from us. We can't be perfectionists because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a perfectionist on us. He expects us to be working, to be trying all the time, to grow. When we talk about nisyonos, so in English, people say to pass a test. I want to pass the test. But in the Sfarim, when they talk about a Nisayim, it talks about being La'amod B'Nisayim. La'amod B'Nisayim. What's the difference of La'amod? Not La'avor Nisayim, to pass a test, but La'amod B'Nisayim. To pass a test means that if you're successful, the test is behind you, the Nisayim is behind you, and it's over. La'amod B'Nisayim is that you now stand upon that test. That test raises you up, and you're in a higher and greater point because of it. It's not just that you didn't let it damage you, it's that you grew from it and you're in a higher place now. You stand in it. When you see in front of yourself something very difficult, something very hard, look at it not as an obstacle that's in the way that you just have to pass and get behind you, but there's a ladder being put in front of you. There's a step that you could be omed on. You want to be loud, but you should start, and you want to step upon this, because from then on and afterwards, you're going to be in a higher place because of it. Something else we could take out to help us for Bein HaZmanim from what happened on that day. In the Midrash Tanhuma and Parshas Naso, it quotes a pasuk, Vehi b'yom kalos Moshe. We're talking about the same day, the day of Hakamas HaMishkan. Why is it Vehi? Vai b'yom kalos Moshe. Woe to the day that Moshe finished building the Mishkan. Woe is so bad about it. And the Midrash goes on and gives a mashal to a king that had an angry wife. A wife that just would always complain and always get on his nerves, like a naggy wife. So the king said to her, could you make for me a beautiful royal garment, something that was difficult to make. And she excitedly got involved in it. And as long as she was involved in it, there was no arguing, there was no bickering between the queen and the king. One day she comes, she finishes the garment, and she gives it to the king. And when the king gets it, he starts to say, "Oh no, vai, oh no, vai, yehi, biyom, kalos, Moshe." They finished building the Mishkan. Why? Because Klai Yisrael, with all their complaints about the man and the slav and everything that they complained about in the Midbar, but things were pretty quiet lately for a while. They were busy with the plans of the Mishkan, looking forward and excited for the day that there would be a Mishkan. Now the Mishkan stands, oh no. Now they're going to start with their complaints again, with their nagginess again. Now it's going to get difficult again. On the day of the completion of a certain spiritual level, so a person until then is kept occupied and kept busy with that pursuit. But then when they move on, that pursuit is accomplished and they're now at the next stage, they're all of a sudden now in danger of the vai, the whoa, that existed when the Mishkan was completed. Our being in Eretz Yisrael, being in a somewhat, a little bit, maybe protected environment, with definitely a very positive schedule of the day that we go to. So there's a lot of things that kept us clean, kept us good, and things that we haven't been tested with, or the tests weren't as hard. When we go back to America and all of a sudden things start to pull us again, and there's all of a sudden unfiltered internet or unfiltered cell phones or people that want to meet up with us, places that remind us of different things, or our parents start to treat us in a way that starts to arouse our frustration or anger, or whatever it is that comes up when we go back to America, we're in a new playing ground, and what protected us for the last number of months isn't there anymore. And therefore we need something in its place to help protect us for that. So first of all, one of the pieces of advice you probably heard from your Rebbeim is to keep yourself super busy. To already plan now of how you're going to make your schedule busy. It could be cleaning the house, it could be shopping for your mother, it could be taking out the kids, it could be going to your father with work and helping him in the office. It doesn't matter what you do, but not having what to do is the most dangerous thing. This goes to the people that are in Eretz Yisrael and for the people that are in America. I would say some of you, hopefully most of you, I think most of you by now have filters on your smartphones. But one of the biggest downfalls that we hear from people when they come back after Pesach or from visits to America, the most common thing is that they were exposed to some computer at home or some other new cell phone. Their parents decided to like upgrade them, and give them something that's now not filtered. And that's something that I think the only way to go about it is to take upon ourselves that we are not going to touch an unfiltered computer. We're not even to look at something that's okay. But we can ask our parents. That one of the things they encourage us in yeshiva is to have filters on a computer. What, you know, while I'm using a computer, could you put a filter on it for me? Could I put a filter on it? Whatever, can't know the code. Definitely not to allow ourselves to go back to that test again and then fall to that test. If we still haven't passed it, could always do that today and put the filters on your phone. But set yourselves up for success. If you're going to be home, you know, alone during the day without a schedule or no schedule at night and only opportunities being thrown at you, then it's going to be a very difficult ben azman. Plan ahead now. Whatever you plan ahead now, you'll be in a much better situation. It doesn't have to take you by surprise. And when something does take you by surprise, and if and when you do fail in whatever areas you're going to fail, don't be shocked, don't be depressed, don't be despaired. You're still exactly who you were. This isn't a test to what happened in Israel. You are a growing person towards Shlemus. This is part of the growth. Get yourself up again and figure out how to plan out better the next time that this shouldn't happen. Shkar.